Jesus is now in Jerusalem. And for the next several days, he clashes with the religious leaders. He enters into the temple and begins to turn over the money changers' tables. The money changers were corrupt businessmen who were engaged in unethical business practices right there in the temple. Jesus said, enough. You will not make my Father's house a den of thieves. He's clashing with the religious establishment. The chief priests and the elders challenge Jesus. Who do you think you are? Where did you get this authority? Jesus, in turn, condemns them. He lets them know just how wicked they were. Jesus said to the religious leaders, he said, you travel all over the world, over land and over sea to convert people, and you make them doubly the children of hell that you are. He lets them know you're wicked. He says, on the outside, you appear righteous, but on the inside, you are full of pretense and iniquity. Jesus says, you are serpents, you are vipers. How can you escape hell? There's a clash going on. And in these final days, Jesus stood boldly in the temple and taught. And all of the people would get up early in the morning and come to hear him teach. But at night, Jesus would go out and stay in the Mount of Olives. Now, church, the week is winding down. And all of Jerusalem is preparing for the Passover meal. What is the Passover? The Passover, or the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It was an annual festival or meal at which the Jews remembered how God freed them from slavery, how he delivered them out of Egypt. It was a festival celebrating deliverance. Very important feast in the life of the Jewish people. It's time for the Passover. So Jesus tells his disciples, Peter and John, go and prepare the Passover meal so that we can eat it. They ask him, Jesus, where do you want us to prepare it? Jesus says, go into the city. And when you go into the city, there you will find a man carrying a pitcher. That is the man who will provide you with a large upper room for our meal. Now, this was a clear sign for the disciples, because seeing a man carrying a pitcher would be an unusual thing. See, men did not carry pitchers. Amen. That was what the women did. So if they saw this man, they would know, you are the right man. So Peter and John do exactly as they are instructed. They go into the city, and sure enough, they find a man carrying a pitcher. So they go to him and arrange to use his upper room. And they make ready the Passover meal. That brings us to our scripture for this evening. Now Jesus and his disciples are in the upper room, sharing in the Passover meal. We're going to look at Luke 22, starting at verse 14. It says, and when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire, I have desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it, gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goeth, as it was determined. But woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. Last night, we got a glimpse of this Passover meal, because it was during this meal that Judas set in motion his wicked plans to deliver Jesus into the hands of the religious leaders. Now we come back and we look at the Passover meal more closely. See, having this Passover meal was important to Jesus. He says to his disciples, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. In other words, Jesus is saying, I have been longing with great desire to share this moment with you before I go to the cross. I long to share this moment with you. And Jesus had a desire, a longing to share this moment, this time before he went to the cross, because he loved his disciples. He loved them with all of his heart. And although the shadow of the cross was looming on him, he was concerned about them. So at this Passover meal, Jesus brings them together, gives them instructions how he wants them to carry on when he's gone. And in this Passover meal, he gives them specific instructions about the Lord's Supper. He institutes this new type of fellowship. We call it the Lord's Supper, or we call it the communion ritual. When he did it, Jesus first gives the Passover new meaning. In other words, he says, I want you to reinterpret the Passover meal in light of me. The Passover meal is really about me. Then he commands his disciples to continue to celebrate the Passover meal. And he wanted them to do it so that they would be strengthened and encouraged as they continued after he was gone. Church, what can we take from the Lord's Supper? What is it that we should learn from the fact that Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper on this night? And that now we have the communion ritual. We must understand from this that Jesus commanded us to take part in the communion ritual, just as he did the disciples. Amen. That the instructions that he gave the disciples are our instructions. And they are our instructions because Jesus, through the communion ritual, desires that we be strengthened and encouraged. Church, communion should never be treated as a mindless ritual. We take communion to obey Jesus Christ. He said, this do in remembrance of me. Take communion to remember Jesus. We take communion to remember what Jesus has done. We take communion to remember what Jesus is doing. And we take communion to remember what Jesus has promised. We take communion to remember what he's done, to remember what he is doing, and to remember what he has promised. Church, when we take communion, we take it to remember three things. We take communion to remember, point number one, what was. We take communion to remember what was. In other words, we remember what Jesus did for us on the cross. Let's read verses 19 and 20 again. It says, and he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Jesus desires that we remember what he did for us on the cross, that he sacrificed himself for us. Himself. He didn't sacrifice stuff for us. He sacrificed himself. He didn't sacrifice things for us. He sacrificed himself. Jesus here is telling his disciples, I am preparing to die for you. I am preparing to pour my blood out for you. Don't forget me. Remember me. Don't forget me. Remember that I let my body be broken for you. I did it all on my own. Don't forget me. Remember that I allowed my blood to be poured out for you. Don't forget me. Church, Jesus' instructions are piercing to me. Because what they say is, it says that Jesus is telling me, I love you, but I want you to love me back. Jesus desires that we would remember him. Don't forget about me. In the busyness of life, don't forget about me. In the busyness of church, don't forget about me. Don't forget about the fact that I gave the ultimate sacrifice on your behalf. I want you to love me like I love you and remember me. See, Jesus desires that we would treat him as something more than a source of entertainment. I don't want to be your entertainment. I want you to love me and remember me. Jesus desires that we would regard him as something more than a person to we can dump our endless requests on day after day after day. And after we have dumped our requests on him, we forget about him. Jesus, give me this. Jesus, give me that. Jesus, fix this. Jesus, fix that. He desires that he would be more to us than someone to make our requests to. Jesus said, remember me. In other words, Jesus there in the upper room, in the intimacy of fellowship with the disciples, is saying, I want you to be different than the multitude. I want you to be different than the vast multitude who were crying out, Hosanna, because all they wanted was stuff and things. But I want you to have an intimate relationship with me. I want you to love me because I love you. Remember me. Church, he wants us to remember what he's done. Sacrifice he made on our behalf. Whenever we take the bread, we drink of that cup, he's saying, remember what I've done for you. See, because remembrance will cause us to appreciate Jesus. In other words, when we remember what he's done for us, we will see his worth and admire him. Remembrance will cause us to be thankful to Jesus, having a heart of gratitude. Church, whenever we don't have a heart of gratitude as Christians, it is because we don't remember Jesus. I don't care what's going on in our life. And I don't care how difficult things are, if we are not grateful, it is because we don't remember our Lord and our Savior. Yes. Says, remember me. Yes. Remembrance will cause us to appreciate Jesus, causes us to be thankful to him. Remembrance causes us to love Jesus.